Today's show is sponsored by CloudZero. For software-driven companies focused on growing margins, CloudZero is the only cloud cost intelligence platform that puts engineering in control by connecting technical decisions to business results. By analyzing cloud services like AWS and Snowflake, CloudZero provides real-time cost insights that help you maximize margins. Engineering teams can answer critical questions like, who are my most expensive customers? How much does this specific feature cost our business? What's the cost impact of re-architecting this application? With cost anomaly alerts via Slack, product-specific data views, and granular engineering context that makes it easy to investigate any cost, CloudZero is your complete cloud cost intelligence platform, connecting the dots between high-level trends and individual line items. Join companies like Drift, Rapid7, and SeatGeek by visiting cloudzero.com/cloudcast to get started today. That's cloudzero.com/cloudcast.
Cloudcast Media presents from the massive studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is The Cloudcast with Aaron Delp and Brian Gracely, bringing you the best of cloud computing from around the world.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you are, and welcome back to The Cloudcast. We're coming to you live from our massive Cloudcast studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And as I click record on this, we've got for Cloud News of the Week, our first story, some pretty interesting rumors and speculation. Now, nothing final yet, but this is hitting the industry pretty hard. Broadcom is in talks to acquire VMware. VMware's kind of getting passed around again, if you will, and they could go for as much as rumors are about $60 billion this time, which is a pretty nice premium over their current market valuation of about $50 billion or so. So could be a pretty big acquisition, one of the largest acquisitions we've seen in our space and in certainly quite some time. And it will be interesting to see where this lands and what ends up happening. Again, nothing official on it yet, but it might get announced soon. For our second news article this week, the folks over at Splunk have done the State of Observability report for 2022. Really, really good report. I downloaded it, took a look, and some really nice observations in there. Probably one of the biggest ones is this concept of beginners versus leaders, which is used throughout the report. And basically, go get good at this, because if you are a leader, you have some really nice advantages. One is about a 69% faster MTTR, or mean time to resolution, as well as the annual cost of downtime, reduced by like a tenth, 2.5 million to 23.8 million. So it is worth looking at and worth getting some data points if you're in a situation where this data could come in handy in your day job, maybe in reference to trying to lobby some of your executives for budget, and they're trying to understand why they should invest in this space. That's something you could certainly use as some great data points. And lastly, the folks over at Andreessen Horowitz, they did two things. Number one, they did a State of Crypto report. Links in the show notes if that is interesting to you. But the other one that is interesting to me was they opened up a $600 million games-specific fund. And they're going to target gaming studios, gaming infrastructure. Now, Andreessen Horowitz, they've backed some pretty big players over the years. They backed Zynga, they backed Oculus, they backed Riot Games, they backed Epic Games. So they're not new to this space, but the fact that they're willing to create a fund, and a pretty large one at that, specifically around gaming and the future of gaming, was certainly something that I just noticed, and I was like, oh, wow, okay, that's nice, and that's really interesting. And that is going to wrap up Cloud News of the Week. And coming up right after our break, we're going to have Sam Lambert, CEO at PlanetScale, to talk about scalable serverless database systems. If you're a software engineer, you've been there. You're finally relaxing after a long day and you get paged. Something's broken. Are the servers down? Is the database slow? Is there a bug in the latest deployment? Now the whole team is panicked, going from tool to tool and person to person to troubleshoot the problem. That won't happen if you get New Relic. New Relic brings together 16 monitoring tools so teams can see across the entire stack from one place. More importantly, with New Relic, you can pinpoint problems down to the line of code to fix problems more quickly. That's why more than 14,000 companies, including DoorDash, GitHub, and Epic Games, use New Relic to debug and improve their software. The next late night call is just waiting to happen. Get New Relic before it does. You can get the whole New Relic platform and 100 gigs of data free forever. No credit card required. Just visit newrelic.com/cloudcast. That's newrelic.com/cloudcast.
Today's show is sponsored by Spot by NetApp, providing a comprehensive suite of CloudOps tools that makes it easy to deliver continuously optimized and reliable infrastructure at the lowest possible cost. Imagine automating your infrastructure to proactively meet the needs of your applications. Imagine leveraging the latest in machine learning and automation to scale your infrastructure using the most efficient mix of instances and pricing models. Imagine running reliable applications, cutting cloud costs significantly, and making life easier for DevOps teams. From cloud cost management to infrastructure automation, Spot ensures you maximize your cloud investment. The end result is simply more cloud at less cost. Discover how the most innovative companies are automating, simplifying, and optimizing their cloud infrastructure with Spot by NetApp by going to spot.io/cloudcast to find more information, request a demo, or start a free trial today. That's spot.io/cloudcast. And we're back. And folks, as you know, one of the things that I'm always fascinated with, especially as the world has more and more users and more things that we interact with on a 24/7 basis, is databases. And so, if you've listened to the show for a while, you know that we're kind of always coming back to introducing new databases, looking at how the database world has evolved. And once in a while, something really interesting happens in the database space that sort of breaks old paradigms or really kind of reexamines, how do we deal with, lots and lots of data doing things at a really large scale. And today we really kind of got a chance to dig into some of that stuff. And I think today's going to be a lot of fun. Really excited to have Sam Lambert, who is CEO at PlanetScale Data. Sam, welcome to the show. Really great to have you on.
Thank you, Brian. It's really awesome to be here.
As we get a chance sometimes to dig into our guest background, you have what I would call not only an interesting background, but sort of a really sort of meteoric rise. 10 years ago, you listed yourself as like MySQL DBA, and now you are you're running a company, CEO of the company. Walk us through a little bit of what your last 10 years have looked like in terms of you've been at some very, very interesting companies. You've taken on some huge roles, but very, very interested in your background.
Yeah. So, correct. 10 years ago, I was a database engineer, which is a great place to start a decade of tech, I think, to end up at a database company like PlanetScale. I don't really know how my career... I don't really plan my career. I just... I kind of... Every year for the last maybe 15 years, I've always said, I'll have a quiet year this year. I'll just kind of take it easy, focus on other life things, not necessarily... And then always something crazy happened.
Right.
And then I think that's a kind of a good way of doing it. I'm not that type of person that just plans everything out and meticulously. I just kind of chase the next opportunity, try and make the best decisions I can each time and keep going from there. But I the thing that was really transformational for me was joining GitHub. I think was the thing that really changed my career and its trajectory. So I joined there as the first database engineer at the company. The company was beginning to scale. We were just raising the Series A for GitHub, which was a very large Series A round, even at today's kind of benchmarks. And the company was just doing fantastically well, delighting developers everywhere, and we had database problems. So I kind of set about fixing them. And then I'd done management at other companies, and the company was starting to transition into having managers. So we kind of formed a leadership team and worked on bringing structure to the company. And I hired a team behind me that was going to do database engineering company, and it kind of grew from there. And, you know, I ended up sort of having a pretty large engineering team, and it was a really fun journey, really, really fun. And then I got into building products. We built GitHub Actions. That was just an amazing journey for learning about developers, learning how to build products for developers. And I'm really kind of, I'm in my element at PlanetScale, getting to do both, getting to work with databases and a developer focused and oriented product. And for me, it just feels great to be kind of mixing those two skill sets.
Yeah, no, that's very, very cool. It is. It's unique to find people who, you know, not only have lived and breathed and put hands on things at very large scale, but also, you know, have the mindset to be able to run a business and think about what it takes to, you know, position yourself in the market and go and look for new opportunities. So very, very cool. You know, there's been, I feel like there's been sort of an explosion of things that people would call, you know, internet scale databases, because obviously we now have, you know, services and things that, you know, are just orders of magnitude larger than they were before. But you're living in that space right now. Give us a sense of, you know, what's going on sort of in the database world for some of these problems that you just couldn't have kind of wrapped your head around 5 years ago, 8, 10 years ago, in terms of scale, in terms of how to manage them, how to make sure they're well protected, all those types of things.
Yeah. So databases being an essential part of the stack, it kind of tracks along with the growth of the industry.
Yeah.
Everyone, you need a database on day one, pretty much. Otherwise your app doesn't really have much substance to it. And that's a really great position for us, because we always talk about you don't ask people, do you have a database?
Right.
You say, what is your database? Which is great for us. And there's a gigantic TAM for the database market. And I think that's one of the reasons we've seen a lot of database companies being created recently, is to try and capture that TAM. It's not only a very complicated problem that is critical for businesses and enterprises to solve. It's a very, you know, it's lucrative because of that. So that's where a lot of companies are coming together. When it comes to the time and place and why the technology is getting to be where it is, I think it's just we've been developing the cloud era for long enough now that these technologies are really starting to mature. Databases take a very long time to build, very, very long time, and probably take a decade to mature to at least a level of maturity that you could run a very, very large site on. And so when you think about that, it takes, you know, these startups that are starting now, they have a journey, you know, ahead of them. And I feel very fortunate to be in the position we're in, which is the Vitesse, which is our powerful backend data stack, is was built at YouTube to serve billions of users based on MySQL, which is now a 25-year-old technology, which is, again, very, very mature. So we're starting from a very stable foundation. Now our job is to surface the kind of wonders that are in our tech stack and bring them in for the forms of really great user experiences to all of our customers. Generally, I'm seeing a lot of companies coming up and building new products. I don't know how many of them are going to survive. I don't see much innovation other than things that have been tried in the past and kind of generally didn't work out well. But it's interesting. It's certainly interesting to see the approaches that people are taking.
Right, right. Yeah, and to a certain extent, like you said, it's probably one of the one constants that every single company, every single application has to have. And yeah, you do get a lot of you know, people that at some point see that and they say, hey, you know, can I make a place in the market? Can I differentiate something? But there's only so many ways you can kind of create a new mousetrap. I'm curious. I want to dive into Vitesse a little bit. You know, scaling databases is very difficult, obviously, and then doing them while still maintaining the ability to work with things like SQL as a core skill set that people have is also very hard, right? We've seen NoSQL things kind of happen and they get bolted on. And I'm curious, kind of walk us through a little bit of how Vitesse came to be and really kind of where it is in the marketplace, because it's now a very robust open source project. It's been accepted into the CNCF, but kind of walk us through how the technology evolved and really kind of where it is today and some of the interesting things it does today.
So it started at a place in YouTube's history, which most successful companies get to. And it's a problem I wish on everyone, which is your site is so successful, your database is having a problem.
Yeah.
If you get there, that's great. You have business success. But now you enter a phase of really difficult, a difficult technical journey, and GitHub went through this. Everyone does. So YouTube was becoming YouTube, this amazing kind of product that we see today, second largest search engine in the world, by the way, and largest education platform in the world as well. We all educate ourselves on YouTube now. It's kind of amazing. And so our founders were at YouTube. They were receiving kind of database failures daily due to the scale of the site, and they decided first of all to build a proxy to get between their application and the database to kind of smooth out some errant behavior that comes out of, the application, and, block kind of unperformant queries and just generally defend and guard the database. And then it grew out from there when the database became too big for a single machine. They needed to start to shard. And sharding is a very, very hard problem to solve. In fact, at GitHub, we did everything we could to avoid sharding, because implementing that logic and putting it together is really tough. And that's how we came across Vitesse in the end, because they open sourced it. But back to the Vitesse story. So they started building out Vitesse on a very early version of Go. I believe the first version of Vitesse was built on version 0.1 of Go. If you look in the kind of Go history that Google released, Vitesse gets a mention immediately, because the Vitesse team were one of the first people to actually ever try using Go, and Vitesse is still one of the oldest Go apps in production. Not many people realize that kind of Go and Vitesse grew together, and they grew on Borg. So Borg is the internal deployment system, or what kind of runtime, not deployment system, runtime at Google.
Yep.
And it's a kind of very hostile environment for applications. It famously runs on commodity machines that break a lot and that are cheap to run. But that means you don't get your disks back. That doesn't mean you get this kind of this guaranteed persistence forever. So it meant that Vitesse had to be very self-healing and very robust to run on Borg. Then Kubernetes was kind of brought to the world, taking inspiration from Borg. And then Vitesse was open source to run on Kubernetes. So it's a kind of Kubernetes native, highly resilient database orchestration platform. And it is the largest scale commercially available database out there. There is no other open source database that has run anywhere near the type of scale that Vitesse has. So that's great. We're unlikely that we'll ever take on a larger application than YouTube.
Yeah.
And that leaves us with a unique problem versus other database companies, which is take this immensely powerful and proven technology and tailor it to folks, no matter where they are in their life journey as a company.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. So, we've seen over the last, 7 or 8 years, we've seen a lot of really interesting technologies come out of these web scale companies. So Vitesse is one, Kafka is one, Kubernetes is sort of one, and there's been a handful of others. I'm curious now, you've lived in the world where you're using similar technologies, or you're dealing with things at sort of Silicon Valley scale, if you will. I'm curious now, as somebody who's running a company that's building a product on that, you've got to go out to the rest of the world, right? You've got to get out of the 280 corridor and the 880 corridor and go deal with, you know, companies who maybe don't have data at that scale. Is it hard to sort of, I don't want to say sort of like narrow it down or shrink it down, but like, can they comprehend the power of what you're providing? Or how do you, you know, how do you start talking to them about something that started, you know, essentially at the top of the mountain, if you will, and you're bringing it down into, you know, kind of day-to-day usable things for a car company or a healthcare company or something along those lines?
It's a unique challenge, and it's something that we think about very often, and there's a tension there in terms of you have this very impressive piece of technology, but it's not why people are coming to you. They're coming to you because they have a job to do, and you have to keep that in mind. And I think the reason we've been successful so far is that we actually take that different approach. People have said to me, they never thought we would take the, you know, with the database we have, they never thought we would take the approach we've taken. You know, I think the expectation is we would only go after large scale environments. We'd be super enterprisey. And we would just be this kind of, you know, upper scale database. And yeah, that's not what we've tried to do. That is exactly possible. And we have some very, very large customers, but we focus first on who uses the database daily. And that is developers. And developers exist inside every single organization. They are an incredible, powerful resource to the organization. And we obsess over making them productive and happy. And they gain happiness from the database being up, not waking them up at 2 a.m, and the database being approachable and reliable and having safe defaults baked in and generally doing the right thing. So we don't try magic. We don't try and lie to our users about what's possible with a database. We try and keep it reasonable and sensible, because that's what scales in the long run. However, we do want to make something that feels like magic and feels delightful to use. And that takes constant refinement and challenges. But it's great. It's great fun. We have developers that use, or tens of thousands of developers that use our free tier, and or our scaler plan, which is kind of the startup plan. And I don't think they realize they're using a database that will continue with them and growing forever. And that's awesome to me. They're just going to, you know, I think most companies have to face the inevitability of replacing their database midway through their journey. All of the companies that have chosen PlanetScale so far will not have to. And that is a really exciting world.
Yeah, no, that's a cool prospect, that especially if you don't know that, that's what's under the covers. So I'm curious, you know, we started talking off, you know, talking about, you know, you got a chance to sort of be the database engineer, run this team of database engineers, and now we're talking about sort of delighting developers. What's the in today's modern world, or you know, specifically with PlanetScale, like, what's the role of that database engineer these days versus the developer? Like, what do developers want to know about databases? What should they care about? What should they be able to ignore? Like, what does that relationship look like these days?
That's a great, really great question. So the relationship should be a relationship of trust, where they trust that the database is going to perform the way they expect. I think long are the days now where organizations can afford to find and attract talented database engineers. They are few and far between. They are amazing when you can find them, but it's a rare market to hire for. And so we hope to replace that role in most organizations that cannot afford or find database engineers. So that means we strive for our product to be entirely operable by engineers. We have some core innovations that were completely new to the world of databases when we launched last year, such as database branching. We don't believe in local development. The local development is going to go away over the next decade, and we are building our database with that in mind. So instead of staging environments, instead of a local version to install on your laptop, we have database branching, which means you can gain a get a branch of your database almost instantly, which then becomes your dev, test, or staging environment. You can do things like schema changes on that branch, and then you can deploy that schema to production. Adding a primitive that is native to a database around deployment and management of the schema is completely new and hadn't been done before us. And I think that's something that's starting to really excite a bunch of developers. It's amazing to, you know, every single day I see a tweet or a blog post of someone is discovering this way of working with the database, and they're delighted and excited, and that makes us all very, very happy.
Yeah, no, that's very cool. Yeah, that's a concept that makes you step back for a second and have to think about it. If you can eliminate the, right, am I doing this on my laptop? How much power does that have? Is this thing in a staging environment? How close to production is that? You're essentially eliminating all those concerns and what ifs and, you know, it was it right? And you're creating an environment in which you go, you know, sort of similar to what folks like Charity Majors talk about, like testing and production and so forth. Like,
right,
you're making that just a core capability of what it is, and almost eliminating the other opportunities to have problems and mistakes because of those, you know, sort of legacy ways of building stuff. That's really, really interesting.
100%. If it's going to be running in the cloud, then it should be tested and built against the cloud or built against the real environment. And that's why we take this stance. Another feature we just shipped that I'm in love with, because it comes with a number of personal stories for me, is Planet Scale Rewind, which is the ability to undo schema changes that may be damaging. We actually have customers that have saved themselves. It was only been around a few weeks. We've already had customers write in that completely saved themselves because of this feature and this functionality. And it's very exciting to me. I have a personal story. Connected to this, if you want to hear it. So my first week at GitHub, I joined this amazing company of incredibly creative people that really understood developer experience and how to build for developers. And that, you know, it was early back then, but it obviously was proven out that was a great strategy. And these people were fantastic and cool and just awesome. And I was super excited to be part of this company. And that, you know, they'd been waiting for a load of schema changes to run. And had been piled up behind me, sort of joining, and kind of we'd been having problems with it. So I wanted to be super helpful, and an engineer came to me and said, "Yeah, we have these schema changes. We've tidied up the code base. We don't need these columns. We don't need this data anymore. You can just go ahead and get rid of them." So I ran the commands. There's a tool called PT Online Schema Change. Was kind of the tool of the day you used to do this for MySQL. And I went and ran that. It successfully completed and the website went down. It turns out that there were queries still referencing the columns that I had just removed from production. So then this horrible, horrible feeling of, yeah, like day two at the company and I have just taken down
day three at the company might not be happening.
Yeah, right. Exactly. No, that's what I thought. I was like, great, really screwed this one up. I've taken down one of the most significant websites in the world of software development on my second day. And I was horrified. And it took an hour to get the site back up online. Now, I didn't get fired. Everyone was very understanding. But it's a terrible, you know, it's a terrible thing to happen.
Right.
With Planet Scale Rewind, that error would have been a click, and 4 seconds later, the site would have been back up online. Nobody would have even noticed. And that makes me immensely happy that now that kind of failure can never happen again, and that we've made that part of our product. And it's very special. It's very special to me, and it's very hard to do. It technically is very, very difficult, and it's taken a long time to build. But that's going to be our journey. We have so much more that we're going to show the world that is deeply, deeply hard to pull off. But we have the team that's building it, and it's very, very exciting to me.
Yeah, no, that's very cool. Because if you think about all the things that we put in place, whether it's CI/CD or version control or CMDBs or whatever, at the end of the day, you know, your story sort of highlights the part that technology doesn't fix, which was, well, I talked to those people who I thought were responsible for stuff. I thought they knew what they were talking about, and they probably just, you know, either didn't have the full scope of something or made a mistake, or they were tired, or they were distracted, or whatever other human context was involved with somebody going, yes, it's okay to make those changes. You know, you sort of eliminate that set of problems as well, or at least the opportunity that that becomes, you know, an hour long, 2 hour long, 2 day long sort of thing. Which, again, the more you're sort of telling me about this, it's you're introducing these very, very cool concepts and very cool features, but they're essentially just eliminating things that are, you know, friction, problems, bottlenecks, and they're not like one time things. They're like, they happen all the time, right? Yeah. And it's, you know, whether it's like, oh, you know, it's serverless under the cover. So what does that mean? Well, it just means you don't have to think about like, is the disk big enough? Is there a big enough server? It just takes care of it.
Right. And why, and here we go. You've hit the exact nerve when I get going. So this is, it's incredible to me that people are still building databases without solving some of these problems in the way that they're solving them. When I came to PlanetScale, I looked around at the market and it was like, wow. Like, you know, I had my head down inside companies like GitHub, kind of building what we needed to build there. And I hadn't really seen how things had moved on. And it was surprising to me that databases being created, you know, even only 3 or 4 years ago, were just not even tackling the problems that actually affected developers. They didn't have like online schema changes fully solved. They didn't have schema management solved. They didn't have all of these things that we went out and solved immediately. And it was so strange to me that really database companies mostly just ship their back end. And they're super proud of that. They're like, yeah, storing data is really hard. So like the developer experience is going to have to suck. I'm sorry. And that was the big difference with us. We were like, no, like definitely not. We're going to do all of the extra work to make it feel great, feel magical. And that is an enterprise sales technique. We are building this product for every developer out there, including enterprises. And developer experience is a key important thing that enterprises need, not just a reliable backend. That's table stakes. We've done that. That's done. It's now about how do we make something that is supremely valuable. And we want to make the database do more again. Most people will take load and take responsibilities away from the database to make it work. We now want people to fall back in love with the database and want it to do more. And that's the phase we're kind of entering into next.
Yeah, no, that's interesting stuff. One last thing, I'm curious, you know, you mentioned one of your, I guess, goals, the you know, kind of the things that you focus on is sort of, you know, eliminating the need for that robust database engineering team and so forth. I'm curious, as you talk to companies, you know, anytime, I don't want to make this about sort of like, hey, you're losing control, but anytime you go, hey, my data is so incredibly valuable to us. How does that conversation go in terms of people going, you know, kind of seeing the value of what you provide versus going, yeah, but do I still, you know, what do I give up? Like, how does that conversation typically go? Especially if you're not, you know, like if you were talking to the DBA, they're going to ask certain questions, but like as you're talking to application owners and others, do they just look at it as cool? That's five less things on my checklist, or how do those conversations tend to go?
Yes, yeah, it's a mix depending on the company. Sure. So first of all, the way we can deploy for companies is we can deploy our backend data plane into their cloud. So that's one thing that first of all makes people a little more excited is that like the data still lives within their cloud. It's just managed by us, so they get this feeling of a SaaS service. With the benefits of on-prem, which is full ownership of their data, their security teams can audit stuff, they have that. So that's one deployment model that is really useful, really helpful for companies to start to feel comfortable with trusting a third party. The way the conversation usually goes is that we very genuinely explain that we understand the responsibility we have. So no matter who they're talking to at PlanetScale, they are likely speaking to a person that has been responsible for very large infrastructure somewhere. This company is made up of people from Google, Facebook, Amazon, GitHub, Twilio, Sentry. They've all worked at very, very large scale operations and understand what it takes. And we communicate very, very genuinely that we understand the trust that is being put in our hands. And we take it very, very seriously. And they understand that. And then they also start to feel excited that they're now getting rid of a problem that usually plagues them. Very, very regularly, we'll speak to the CEO of the company we're selling to.
Yeah.
Because when you start to get database problems, it is on everyone's radar.
Right.
Everybody's. The roadmap is slow. The investors are unhappy. Believe me, the most unhelpful thing that happens when you have a large scale outage is everyone starts to critique and comment, and it becomes horrible. You have angry customers, you have everything. It's a terrible problem. And it's our goal to take those away from a company, and you start to get this real relief. And it's a great feeling to hear. You know, we moved a large site over recently, and just to hear back of, I haven't thought about the database for weeks. My mind is clear. We're doing something else. It feels awesome.
Yeah.
I really love doing that. That feeling of you've built something really valuable and it's stressing people. It's great.
Yeah, no, that's very cool. I think back, I had actually the guy who was the very first guest in this show had worked for a company, and he told us of, you know, he worked for a construction company, but you know, they were adopting technology. They used to come out to Silicon Valley and sort of go, what's the best of the best? And again, this was, you know, 13, 14 years ago. And the thing that they did when they came to the Valley was they were like, hey, I want to know how Google works, or I want to know how, you know, whoever works. But what they really weren't, they didn't really care how they work. They were like, I wish we had the things you did. I wish I didn't have to download the software and then learn it and do all these. And it feels like, you know, 10, 12, 15 years later, you're now in that swim lane of, hey, yes, you get what Google and GitLab and GitHub and others do, but you don't have to spend time finding people to become experts in it. You don't have to deal with the open source release cycles. You don't have to deal with all that sort of stuff. So yeah, it's very cool to see. You know, sometimes it takes a long time in technology for certain goodness to come along, but it's cool to see that you guys are down that path. That's very, very encouraging.
It does feel great to actually just blow people's minds with that. And database problems are undifferentiated, like you mentioned. Like there's no one cares. When you go to a website now, you don't care whether the database works or it doesn't work. Most people don't know what database is. They just want it to do the thing. Yeah. They want the checkout to complete successfully.
Yeah.
And if you're spending forever solving that problem, then you're not doing something in return for your users. You're not like the company that picks the database that gets out the way is the company that wins, because they spend their time not database scaling. They spend their time building. And I was telling a customer recently that our value prop is not a database. Years of innovation back for your business. Years.
Yeah.
I spoke to another customer. I said, how much do you think you estimate you spent solving your database problems? And this is a really big, it's a very successful company that's, you know, one day going to be public fairly soon. They're doing fantastically well. And I couldn't believe the answer. They said 100 person years. I couldn't believe it. Like, what a waste of time.
Yeah.
That is not doing anything other than just working, just keeping things steady state. And so I'm super excited to be part of a future that exchanges way more value to the user and to the users of our users.
Yeah, no, that's cool stuff. It's that's a very, very cool place to be. Sam, you're a busy man. You're running a very fast moving company. I want to thank you for your time today, educating us about how we got here. The problems that people are trying to solve with databases, and excited to hear about the cool stuff that's going on over at Planet Labs. So, or Planet Scale, excuse me. Real quick, if anybody wants to engage with your team and all, what's the best way to go about doing that? What's the best way to get started?
Head over to planetscale.com. You can sign up for our free tier, free forever. I believe it is the the most resources you can get in any free database tier. You can get going, you'll get a database in seconds, and you can start your journey from there. So over at planetscale.com.
Very cool stuff. Good stuff. Folks, with that, on behalf of Aaron and I want to thank Sam for his time today. I hope y'all had a chance to learn some stuff. I know for me, it's really cool to see some of these things come together, especially having covered this space for a long time. So with that, I'm going to wrap it up. I want to thank Sam. Thank you all for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for helping us grow the show and the community. As you may have seen, we just went over 10 million listens for the duration of the show. So thanks y'all for being part of that, whether you were there for one or a million. And with that, we'll wrap it up and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Cloudcast. Please visit thecloudcast.net to find more shows, show notes, videos, and everything social media.